Hi, Michael here, and welcome to a preview of our patron-exclusive episode on No Time to Die, available now on our Beyond the Screenplay Patreon. In this segment, we discuss our initial reactions to the film and whether or not it hits what we want from a James Bond film. To listen to the full episode, head to the link in the show notes or head over to the Beyond the Screenplay Patreon at patreon.com/beyondthescreenplay. We are getting closer to our next Patreon goal of 1,000 patrons, so if you sign up, you'll be taking us one step closer to our goal and a three-part series on the Godfather trilogy. And I'm sure this goes without saying, but nonetheless, there are spoilers for No Time to Die in this clip, so make sure you've seen the movie first. We'll be back this Friday, as usual, with our episode on The Ring. Enjoy. Hello, patrons. Michael here with the whole team, Trisha Arand, Brian Bittner, and Alex Calleros. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. Great.
Very well.
Excellent. And today we are talking about No Time to Die, the 2021 film directed by Cary Fukunaga, screenplay by Neil Purvis, Robert Wade, Cary Fukunaga, and Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Okay, let's talk about it. So I'm just going to jump right in and say I had so much fun with this movie. This was maybe the most fun I've had in a theater since The Rise of Skywalker, and that's not to compare the quality,
wow,
but that is to, we all know how I feel about The Rise of Skywalker and like the fun that I have when watching a Star Wars movie. I mean, there are comparisons to be made about ending a saga that we can talk about there, and things that might have been done right that should have been done in other Star Wars. Anyway. But yeah, I thought this was like really, really well done. I'm very glad I didn't see any of the trailers because I didn't know. I knew very little, right? I knew that there was like another 007 and that he's kind of old and retired, but like I didn't have any sense of like where the story was going to go or I don't know, any of that. So it was really, really fun. I really liked what they did with Bond as a character and that they brought back Lea Seydoux and like she had a big role. Like I feel like this movie, in my opinion, accomplished what all of the Craig Bonds have been trying to do. Like I feel like it hit the sweet spot for me anyway in terms of being super Bondy but also being a really well-made, well thought through film, and then also like wrapped it all up nicely and like said farewell to these movies. So I have like just like 5 stars, super happy, loved it. Trisha, should we talk? Do you want to wait? Should we go for you? How are you feeling?
I overall feel really great. As I talked about, we like any Bond movie ever is like a great experience for me. Like even walking out of Spectre, I was like, yep, yes, good, love it. And you know, with more hindsight, I was like, wow, actually that's a bad movie despite the fact that I just was having the time of my life sitting in that movie theater. And I overall feel like I can't wait to see this movie again. And I wanna watch it like 3 more times, basically, because I just feel so close to it. Like, I feel so close to it. I feel so close to the character, you know, the James Bond character especially, but some of the other ones like Q and Moneypenny and M, and even Lea Seydoux's character at this point, I'm just so like up in it. And that's even without having watched a bunch of the trailers either. Like I watched, I think, the first teaser trailer and then really tried hard to avoid most of the trailers for this, although there were things that I couldn't help but read in the news, mostly because people would just send me stuff. I was like, because when someone knows that you're a super fan of something, they're just like, what do you think about Lashana Lynch playing 007? And you're like, well, now I know about that. Yeah. Thank you. But, you know, but I think I just feel overwhelmed. This movie is really big and really sprawly. It takes in a lot of territory. It goes a lot of places. I think it hits a bunch of different tones, although overall kind of, I think, hangs together tonally. But it feels potentially pretty overwrought. And that's maybe just from its sort of place in the franchise. And I just think I just like, my heart is so full and like raw, I guess, coming out of this experience. I just feel like I'm maybe too raw. So like anything I say, don't like write it in stone or hold me to it. Like, sure. I just want to experience this again and again, and then I'll have some perspective that I can lend a little later. Right now you're going to get piping hot takes and probably not a lot of perspective. And that's just where we are. Also, I just want to say that when you're a super fan of something that the average moviegoer has only a very cursory knowledge about, it is a wild experience to sit in a movie theater with just like a bunch of normies. Because, and I think I just annoyed everybody around me because there are references in this movie to On Her Majesty's Secret Service. Mm. Hmm. And I was just like, you know, had my breath taken away where I was like, oh my God, he just said we have all the time in the world. And that doesn't mean anything to anybody right. but me. You know what I mean? Like,
on your left.
I like yelled. Yeah. Right. I like yelled, not that loud, but I certainly vocally reacted to a few different things in this movie that don't mean anything to anybody that isn't, you know, like a very old fan. So like, for example, they filmed at Goldeneye, which is Ian Fleming's estate in the Caribbean.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, oh my God, it's Goldeneye. You know, I know what that is and it looks like. So it's just a very weird experience where things hit a little differently for Bond mega fans. And there are dozens of us out there.
dozens, I say.
Dozens!
So yeah, in conclusion, I'm an obnoxious Bond fan in a movie theater. Don't sit near me. And I have no idea how I feel about this movie, except I love James Bond.
Great. Yes. Understand that perspective. I feel like that's a little bit how I felt with Star Wars, with The Rise of Skywalker, and that we were like talking about it the very next day. That's why I watched it twice in one night, which I had forgotten about until last night.
Wow.
I wanted to do that. Yeah. I thought about you doing that, and I was like, I know why Michael immediately bought a ticket and went back to watch Rise of Skywalker again. Because when you have to podcast about something, you're just way too close to it. I wish I had time. I wish I'd had time to go back and watch No Time to Die again.
Yeah, so. I really want to too. But okay. Okay, cool. So no pressure. We're not writing down anything you say in stone. Understandable.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Brian, what was your take on this?
Yeah, very similar. Just had a great time with it. For as long as it was, it didn't feel overwrought. And I have a strong sense of why that we can get into later. And, you know, we talked about sort of good versus fun. Like Skyfall feels like a movie you appreciate, whereas like other movies or movies you have like a like more like Spectre's like a fun movie that's maybe not great. And like Casino Royale, I would say this just felt both. It felt like I was like I'm having a great time, but now like there's a dialogue scene, but I care about it and it's a good scene and like things are happening. And you know, there's the cinematography was beautiful. You know, and there's an emotional storyline that everything is like revolving around. It's not just sort of happening over on the side. It's all connected, which, you know, they've been trying to do with the last few movies. And I feel like it really worked well with this one. And probably my favorite moment was after the opening sequence with, you know, with the spinning car and everything. I was like, oh, this is the trailer. Like I have seen the trailer basically, and now other than maybe some snapshots or whatever, I have no idea what's coming next. I don't know that they're going to be in like a kind of submarine, Trisha, submarine-ish thing. that's not quite a submarine, but and you know, so like I didn't know. Obviously, like I knew Rami Malek and you know Blofeld, whatever, but mostly just feeling like I just the exciting feeling of being 10 minutes into a 3-hour movie and going like, cool, I don't know what's coming next. I'm excited. So yeah, overall loved it. Some cheesy lines I could do without. Maybe next to A View to the Kill, one of the worst. Let's get the title in there. Do you know what time it is?
Oh, it is.
What? No, Time to Die. I just showed someone your watch. It blew his mind. Like, all right, okay.
I like that.
That was a great one.
That was fine. That was just like Bondy stuff. Yeah, but
like we need a couple of those. Come on.
But having the title delivered by two character, like, wow.
That is funny. But yeah, there are definitely cheesy lines, but I think what I like about it is that this movie felt it had enough self-awareness happening also that it was like, I don't know, it didn't feel like the Skyfall like lines or like the Spectre lines sometimes where like Craig has to say a pun, but tonally it feels completely out of step with like the gorgeous cinematography and the like the background and blah, blah, blah.
I can't get into all that. I have a bunch of notes about, I want to continue our what is Bond conversation from Skyfall. And I have a lot of thoughts about that. I won't get into it now. I want to hear what Alex thinks, but yeah, we definitely will come back to that.
Yeah. I feel like we have to talk about what is Bond? What is Bond moving forward? What is this movie set up and state? So we'll maybe try to save that for the second half and we'll see how, see where we go with all that. But yes, Alex, tell us about No Time to Die.
Yeah. I feel similarly to all of you. I feel overwhelmed. I want to see it again. It was such a big movie. It reminded me of like Avengers Endgame. You know, it had that gravity and that sprawl and that here we're bringing back all the characters. We're going to wrap it all up in a really satisfying way. I love the directing. I love Cary Fukunaga. He's so like just my taste as far as the way he shoots things, the way he orchestrates action scenes, the way things are edited together, the way he uses sound, like it's just like good modern filmmaking, and I just really like it. And I think there's something about, you know, the Sam Mendes approach to Bond, which was like this gorgeous prestige approach. That was, we talked about this during the Skyfall podcast. For me, it didn't quite mesh with what I wanted from like an action movie. You know, there was something about it that just felt a little too deliberate, a little bit too like we're going to linger on the shot for just a little bit too long because it's so pretty. I don't feel that with this movie. I think this movie is almost equally gorgeous. It wasn't shot by Roger Deakins, but it's really gorgeous. It's beautifully shot, but I don't ever feel like things are slowing down just to like luxuriate in the prestigeness. You know, it's just this is going to look gorgeous and it's going to be moving. We're not going to be like pointing to you how prestige this is. It's just going to be prestige-y naturally. And I think that was it almost for me, it had the emotional impact I think Skyfall wanted to have on me. I could feel in Skyfall a lot of the movie pointing at me almost being like, look, this is an emotional scene. Like this is about the mother and this is about this theme and you should feel things now. And it was almost more like I'm being told to feel things. Whereas in this one, for whatever reason, it snuck up on me. And I think the whole daughter thing, like all this stuff just kind of culminated. So I really felt something by the end. And it wasn't the movie telling me I should be and I'm not. It was just naturally happening. So this movie does feel like a beautiful, just like Avengers Endgame, kind of like they nailed kind of a culmination of a lot of different things the different Craig Bond movies were trying to do. This movie, I can, as best as you can maybe do in 1 3-hour block of time, kind of brought all those threads together and did a good version of all of them. Like I got the Casino Royale fun. I got that Cuba sequence that was just pure fun. But I also got a finale that was very emotional and about Bond and about his family stuff. So anyway, yeah, I'm just very impressed that what an achievement it is to bring all those threads together and to nail most of them for me at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really, like you said, there's so much in here. There's so much to talk about. I feel like maybe one first stop that we can make is sort of coming off of your comment about like the Skyfall, Sam Mendes approach, the prestige thing. I feel like part of the prestige thing is like there's a certain distance created. And I feel like this is a critique of a lot of like Fincher movies also. It's like the precision is like there creates a distance with the audience. And I feel like in this movie, like right from the beginning, that first action scene and wherever the hell they are,
Italy,
is that Italy on the okay? Yeah,
the bridge, it looks Italian. The bridge,
right. And that's kind of what I assumed. Yeah, generally, is so like visceral, and I'm so in it and with the characters. So it's not like I'm watching things happen that are like lovely to look at, but I'm emotionally involved in what's happening. And so I think some of that is the directing. I think some of it is the writing also. Like maybe this is projection, but I felt the Phoebe Waller-Bridge touch throughout, and I appreciated it basically everywhere that it was, where there's like...
Women written by women. Well, they did it.
And just like humanity given to people, like humor and
like when Madeline says like, I want to show you something. He goes, was it another kid? Like just like those little things, right. It's like, it just feels like a human joke that someone would make.
Right. Like you do that and then you're laughing and you're having fun. And so I feel like, yeah, especially that opening action sequence, I didn't know about the spinning car thing either. I hadn't seen that in the trailer. Oh, so yeah. I was like genuinely like, how are they going to get out of this? Mm. But then like to your point, Alex, there's like the use of sound. So like bulletproof glass guys right up against the window shooting the gun, like pop, yeah. pop, pop, like that tension, like the sound being used to add to the tension. It's also a character scene that's happening right. in this exactly. moment where Bond is struggling with like, can I trust this person that I love? This is like my worst nightmare happening. Like all of that happening all at the same time is like what makes a great scene great. And I feel like this movie was filled with scenes where there was a lot of layers happening like that. But particularly that opening was such a great way to start a movie and get all of that going right from the get-go.
Yeah.
Hope you guys enjoyed that preview. To listen to the full episode, head to the link in the show notes or head over to the Beyond the Screenplay Patreon at patreon.com/beyondthescreenplay. And we'll see you on Friday with our episode on The Ring.